Direct from Music City, this is Live from Nashville on the Equestrian Legacy Radio Network.
The first thing I remember knowing was a lonesome whistle blowing and a youngin's dream of growing up to ride on a freight train leaving town, not knowing where I'm bound, and no one could change my mind but Mama tried. The one and only rebel child from a family meek and mild, my Mama seemed to know what lay in store. Despite all my Sunday learning, towards the bad I kept on turning, till Mama couldn't hold me anymore. I turned 21 in prison, doing life without parole. No one could steer me right, but Mama tried. Mama tried, Mama tried to raise me better, but her pleading I denied. That leaves only me to blame, 'cause Mama tried. Dear old daddy, rest his soul, left my mom a heavy load. She tried so very hard to fill his shoes, working hours without rest, wanted me to have the best. She tried to raise me right, but I refused. And I turned 21 in prison, doing life without parole. No one could steer me right, but Mama tried. Mama tried, Mama tried to raise me better, but her pleading I denied. That leaves only me to blame, 'cause Mama tried.
Well, good Saturday. This is Live from Nashville. I'm your host, Gary Holt. Joining me is my partner in crime and my lifetime partner, Miss Mary Kay. Good morning, Mary Kay.
Good morning.
That's a little Merle Haggard to kick things off today with his great, great song, Mama Tried. And so what's been going on in Nashville this week for you, dear?
Oh, my goodness. For me, well, you know, I think what's in a bigger picture of what's been going on
last. We're having a little trouble hearing you there, Mary Kay.
Oh, all right. Well, you know, it's just been busy in Nashville. We've got great weather. We had Taylor Swift in town last week.
We're having a little challenge with your phone right now, cutting in and out. So I'm going to go ahead and just tell folks who we've got joining us on the show today. And we have a great lineup headed our way today on Live from Nashville. First of all, a really, really good friend of ours, Miss Mickey Furman, will be joining us for the first segment of the show. And then all the way from Texas, we've got a young lady who writes a lot here in Nashville, and that's Miss Olivia Harms. So we're going to have a great time visiting with both of these young ladies. But right now, let's take a listen to a great song from Mickey Furman. It's one called Runaway Heart. We'll be back in just a moment with Live from Nashville.
Thought I had it roped and tied and tamed. All talked out of loving you for a change. Then you came riding in, there it went again. Off like a herd of wild mustangs. So far, following my runaway heart. Now do you realize what you have done? You set my feelings free, now we're on the run. And we might eat some dust, let's fall in love or bust. Got a feeling this race has just begun.
Artist today. Hopefully y'all can hear me better. Can you hear me?
We got that technical issue straightened out. So you sound great.
Oh, good, good, good. Well, today on Live from Nashville, Gary and I are honored to have one of our very favorite humans on the show today. Our guest, Mickey Furman comes to us from Louisiana. She got her start as a young girl on the Louisiana Hayride. She's toured, she has recorded, she made a move to Nashville many moons ago. She's an award-winning author and has won the Spur Award with the Western Writers of America. She also was a nominee for her new album, Westbound, with International Western Music Association. She also won a Wrangler Award with the Western Heritage Awards and was able to receive that award in Oklahoma City just a few weeks ago. So please honor a dear friend and talented artist, Mickey Furman.
Hello, 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 friends.
Hello, Miss Mickey Furman.
I tell you what, we've only been friends for what, a year and a half, something like that. But I smile every time I think of the circumstances, and it just felt
me
like
too.
such a serendipitous and wonderful thing that we all got to be friends.
Yes.
Pretty
it's
cool.
All because you reached
cool.
out. You reached out to say welcome to Nashville. Yeah.
That's right. That's right. Hey, Mary Kay comes to Nashville, you got to say, well, welcome to my town, you know. I've never dreamed that you'd be moving here, but I thought, I have no idea if she knows people here or whatever, and I don't really know her very well, but I reached out, and we just fell in like thieves, as they say.
Yes, definitely.
Yep.
Oh.
It's been great.
It has.
I think within days I had you singing on my album. I'm pretty sure I did.
You know, I think you're right. I think it was just a few weeks after,
mm-hmm.
we had lunch with you.
Yep.
Yes. That was a special, you know, your whole album Westbound is just, the whole album was so beautifully done. You said, you have a saying about the album that there's a bit of magic in it. Is that what you say? I can't remember your exact wording.
I think it's interwoven with love. There's just, I mean, really, and just a special, it just has a special little spirit about it. I think everyone who touched the album was dear to me. That has a lot to do with it. And the songs, the way they came about over the years and collecting the ones that I didn't write and writing the ones that are there, about five of them. There was just an undercurrent of fellowship, I think, in that album. And I believe that shows. I was just listening to Runaway Heart as you played that, and it took me back to the little rented duplex I lived in Nashville when I wrote that song, And that's, you know, something that would be interesting to talk about today is just, since we're live from Nashville, to talk about my Nashville years. I've been here, as you said, I guess it's, I finally moved here in about 1990 after being based in Shreveport, Louisiana, before that. And there have just been so many ups and downs and twists in the road. But I do remember sitting in the living room of my little duplex, writing that song and just having so much fun writing that Western imagery.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, it's a great song. As a matter of fact, that was that's my pick song of the week for the week ending today. And
Thank you. You're very welcome.
You're very welcome. I think we're going to be doing a pick of the week every week from now on out. That's kind
great.
Of a fun thing to do.
Idea.
But a great, great song. But, yeah, so how did you end up in Nashville, Mickey? How did you end up coming to Nashville in the 90s?
Oh, my goodness. Everybody's got a, you know, quite a story about how they came to Nashville.
Yeah.
You know, some people talk about taking the bus to Nashville and slinging hash or waiting tables, whatever you got to do to finally get in the door. My very first trip to Nashville, I had just turned 17, and it was to play the Grand Ole Opry. I was already headlining the Louisiana Hayride and had some local records out in the Louisiana, Texas area. And not long after that, I got picked up by MCA Records. But, yeah, I had enough, you know, noise going on that we were able to arrange an appearance on the Grand Ole Opry, the first couple that I did. But yeah, that was my first Nashville experience. And of course, you know, young thing, I thought, well, shoot, there's nothing to this. You just
pretty
roll
easy.
On the cat
yeah.
and play the Opry.
Yeah. I gotta ask you, stop right there for just a minute. So when you played the Opry, who introduced you that night?
Roy Acuff.
What do you think about that? What do you think about that?
I was blown away. The backstage area at the Opry is really big, probably bigger than people realize, and there's a lot of fraternizing and visiting going on. And here I was, you know, never been to Nashville, and this is a long time ago, you know. Eddie Rabbit was on the show, Larry Gatlin, and just all these people, and Roy Acuff, you know. I didn't know as much about his music probably as I should have, but, you know, my mother was extremely impressed that Roy Acuff was there.
Yeah, I would imagine.
But he found out I was from the Hayride, and he pulled me aside and told me all kinds of stories about playing the Hayride himself as a younger artist.
Yeah.
And
wow.
It was amazing.
Well, it's pretty cool.
It was just an incredible night.
Yeah, and so now, you know, they have the series they do on Circle Television called Your Opry Debut. And so it's really a lot of fun to see these young performers that are coming on and getting to play the Opry for the very first time. And so to be able to do that at 17 years old is quite a memory. Be able to share.
I think it was a little harder in those days to get on the show. It seems like, you know, they're a whole lot more open now about being or welcoming up and coming artists, but it didn't happen as often during those years. So I think I was one of only a few who were there that night who weren't Opry members.
Wow.
Talking to Larry Gatlin backstage, and I told him how nervous I was. And he says, "Why are you nervous?" He put his arm around me. "Why are you nervous?" I said, "Look at all these people backstage." He said, now. He said, "You don't worry about any of us back here." He said, "You see all those folks sitting out there? They're the ones that came.
There's the ones you got to worry about.
And you sing to
right.
them. You go sing to them. Don't worry about anybody else."
Great advice. Great advice. Well, I'm going to get to another song very quickly. This is another song from the tremendous album Westbound. And by the way, I will take credit for early on saying Westbound was going to be the album to watch. And sure enough, it won the Wrangler Award.
You got that crystal ball, I'm telling you.
I did.
You can make a prophecy like that for me anytime you want to, Gary Holt.
Well, and by the way, the Wrangler Awards are the most prestigious award in all of Western music. And
it was super special.
Quite a deal. But let's take a listen to Odyssey, Wyoming. It's another great song from the album Westbound. We're going to come back and talk more with Mickey Furman today on Live from Nashville.
Toby came to Texas, hired on to run cattle. A finer cowhand I have never known. But how he loved to tell us that the country didn't suit him, and there was nothing about Texas could compare with his sweet home. He'd say, if you think that sky's blue, then you ought to see Wyoming on a clear September morning. Why, it's bluer than the sea. Someday I'm going back there at the end. All my roaming, I'll turn this pony loose and never leave. Yeah, you ought to see Wyoming, yes, sirree. Toby rode through Dallas with its big hotels and streetcars. He said it's fine, but it ain't no Cheyenne. And down towards San Antonio, through the rolling hills and valleys, old Toby shook his head, and we heard that tale again. If you think them hills is tall, well, you ought to see Wyoming, where the Tetons hold the clouds around their snowy peaks. Someday I'm going back there at the end of all my roaming. I'll turn this pony loose and never leave. Boys, you ought to see Wyoming, yes, sir. Closed in round the cattle. It's all we could do to calm them doggies down. But they broke loose when it thundered, and when the dust and herd had settled, I saw my old friend Toby a bleeding on the ground. Boys, don't that sky look blue? You reckon it? I see the lupins and the paintbrush blooming in the field of green. Well, it's time I headed back there, 'cause I'm out of time roaming. Just turn my pony loose and let me be. I think I see Wyoming yesterday. Boys, I think I see Wyoming.
Oh, yes, sirree. Wow, that's a great song, Mickey.
That was probably the decision point for making Westbound. I knew when I finished that song, want this to be something bigger than just one song.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's that song is a career maker song. It really is. And you know,
well, it's interesting. We were talking about the Opry days, you know, and then Westbound, which is happening now. I see those as bookends to my life. the album Westbound is such a miracle, more so than people realize. And, you know, I joked about coming into Nashville and playing the Opry the first week. But for me, the rough road and the hard knocks and the heartache came afterward. And that's what, to me, has been interesting. It's almost as if I lived it backwards. But it was a circle. I didn't realize it was a circle at the time, but it came back. And I, you know, I will explain that, but that's how
where
I feel
did,
about
where
it.
Did your, wh- sort of where did back. Your family come from? You're kind of a Western family originally, aren't you?
Well, that's thanks to my dad. My mother's family has been in Louisiana for generations. My dad was born in North Dakota to a horse trainer and, well, horse trader, let's just be honest here. He also broke horses. Yeah, he was kind of a little, he was born in Oklahoma Territory, my grandfather, and was, I think, actually a friend of Will Rogers. They were from kind of the same area. But he was just a horse guy and a farm ranch guy. He drifted around, ended up buying a farm in northwestern Minnesota, which was where my dad was raised. And I spent every summer of my life at this place. And there were, you know, cattle and quarter horses they raised, and they had sheep and chickens and the whole thing. And I got to experience that every summer. And not only that, but their farm was on the Leech Lake Ojibwe Reservation. The land was on the reservation. And my grandmother was a foster parent, I think just because she just had heart for kids, and it probably, you know, just was something that she liked doing. But pretty much across the board, all of her foster kids were Indians, were either Ojibwe or Sioux. And so every summer, my playmates are this little, you know, group of little Indian kids.
Wow.
So I'm kind of getting the cowboys and the Indians experience and at the same time. In fact, she adopted one of them. My uncle is actually Lakota.
He's a
retired Powwow dancer.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So it was
just
interesting. Wow. I would stay in the little bedroom upstairs that had been my father's. And there were all these old Zane Grey books. Remember the little big books, the little Roy Rogers and all of those?
Oh, yeah.
My dad loved all that.
Yeah.
And I read every one of those. And later on, my grandmother gave all those to me because she said I was the only grandchild who seemed to be crazy about reading those. And I just grew up with all that around me in the summers. And then I would go back to Louisiana. He met my mom while he was stationed in the Army down there. And she insisted on raising us in Louisiana. So I kind of have that split, you know. split personality. the deeply Southern and then the kind of ranchy, farmy sort of thing too. We moved out to Prescott, Arizona when I was about 4 years old because I had severe asthma as a child.
Huh.
And I still struggle with that. I have to take medicine every day, but we moved out there because I just wasn't doing well in that humid Louisiana climate.
Yeah.
And we rented a little place that was on a ranch, and a working ranch. And I was standing outside, and I saw, I may have told you this story before, Mary Kay, saw this cloud coming in, coming across, you know, and out of the cloud of dust, all of these horses emerge, Mustangs.
Wow. Oh, beautiful.
Painted, like spotted and dark and light, and just all different colors of horses came out of this dust cloud. And behind them, cowboys, and they herded them into a pen. And I stood there with my mouth open, and I promise you every time, I mean, I write Western fiction, nonfiction, and songs. Every time I start to write, I see that, and it never fails to put chill bumps on me. And it's just the moment that I fell in love with the West and the seed was planted.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. Went back to Louisiana, but I just felt like I left something out there.
Yeah. Well, which brings us.
My family traveled out west a lot, too. You know, we spent a lot of time knocking around.
In the west?
Yeah.
Well, there's another song that I want to get to, and this is one called Stories That the Rocks Tell. Tell us about this, Mickey.
Okay. Well, this song was actually written as a for a friend who's an author. I had donated a song to be written about Whatever You Want for the Western Writers of America Homestead Auction fundraiser. And so I just started thinking about my friend who's an author and me and where stories come from. But really, probably the seed of this song was planted up on Scott's Bluff in Nebraska. I had driven up to the top of Scott's Bluff. It's really strange, but I was walking around and there are all these rocks around me and shrubs. The wind was blowing and I thought I could hear Native American chants. I thought I could hear songs and drums, and then it would go away and then it would come back. But this is creepy. I know this place is supposed to have, you know, some sacred meaning to it, but this is very interesting. So I start walking around and I look down into the valley, and there's a powwow going on in the valley.
Sure enough,
the wind was carrying the songs up to this hill and all the rocks around me. And I guess that memory was fused with writing about being a writer, and that's where a lot of the imagery came from.
Well, this is a great song. It's called Stories That the Rocks Tell. It's from the great album Westbound. Our special guest this morning is Mickey Furman.
I can hear my mother's voice so clear, reading by my bedside, odysseys and fairy tales, how she made them come alive. She said stories are all around my child, that's something you've been taught well. Just go to the mountain and you will hear the stories that the rocks tell. So come on, Molly, let's go to the mountain. You can chase a rabbit or a fox there. I'll stand quiet so I can hear the stories that the rocks tell. But the muses, they just laugh at me, 'cause they don't do my beckoning. They say music is all around my child, gotta make sure that you're listening. Go to the meadow. Too hard and they'll never come. they find you in such strange ways. My memory's like a single raindrop falling in slow motion, and all those memories run to the river, and the river runs to the ocean. So come on, Molly, and sit by the river. I'm so glad you're here with me, 'cause you and I in this beautiful place will someday be a memory. Like the songs that the wind sings, stories that the rocks tell. All those memories run to the river, and the river runs to the ocean.
Beautiful. What a great song.
My friend that I wrote this for, Nancy Plain, who's a wonderful juvenile author, asked that I include her dog Molly, who had just passed away. So that's my Molly.
I was listening to it and I was thinking of your daughters.
Yes, I have a daughter named Molly John. Yes, I do.
So, you know, your Nashville years, you were talking about, you know, ups and downs. You came into Nashville on a high. What are some things that you learned? What did you learn about Nashville right away in those early years?
What saved me when I, well, I should back up. I did not come to Nashville right away. I was a recording artist up into my 20s. And, you know, had been doing it professionally for, gosh, since I was 13 when I first joined a band. And I hadn't gone to college. I hadn't had a date. I hadn't, you know, I just didn't have a life other than music. So there was some kind of strange political stuff at the label. And they got rid of my producer and therefore, you know, all of his artists, including me. And so there I was at like 21, 22 years old. Lost my record deal and wasn't sure what to do next, but I was actually kind of tired. You know, I just needed to breathe. Well, you know, what are you going to do? You get married, right?
Yeah.
and I was, you know, that was marriage number one. And you know, I won't go into that, but it did not last a long, long time, but I did get two absolutely gorgeous daughters out of it. And when they were very small, not even in school, I found myself at the end of that marriage, and I had more friends in Nashville than I did anywhere else, so we moved here. And those were the lean years. I was a single mom for 11 years before I remarried, and I tried to write songs on the side, which was, you know, that kind of scratched the creative itch, but I had to make a living and I didn't want to tour with these little girls. And it was just, those were lean years. My mom was 600 miles away. I had no one here, you know, except my songwriter friends. What I learned about Nashville was that songwriters are such a community. We were all best friends. We hung out together. We babysat each other for kids, and we would play songwriter nights together. A friend of mine who was a writer back in those days likened it to, she said, it's kind of like, you know, after a plane crash and everybody's in the water with their life vests on and you're all holding on to each other, and somebody will get tired and start to sag and everybody else holds them up, you know. And it was very much like that. There was such a brotherhood and sisterhood among the songwriters that I got to know. And I kind of limped along through those years, wrote a bunch of songs, but the only major cut I got was on a Tracy Byrd album, which went double platinum, and you know that was nice.
Money
in the bank, a little down payment on a house, and that kind of thing. I had during my marriage, strangely, gotten an engineering degree, and as the girls got older, I decided to make a little bit more money, so I went into the commercial construction business and worked my way up to project manager over a period of years. Did that for a long time. So it was sort of like music was in this Pandora's box, it was just in a little box on the shelf. I would write a few songs down then, play a little show at the Bluebird, but it was just locked away. And
yeah.
I remarried in 2000 to a music business attorney, Michael Milam, and that thrust me into a totally different place. I was suddenly a lawyer's wife, and I felt that came with expectations. My children were teenage girls, and they were, you know, that they required a lot of hands-on, as you know, having teenage girls. And I just focused on them, and then after that, we raised a grandson who is now 20. So I was just I was actively parenting for about 38 years before the last one moved out. And that's where I've been. That's what I've been doing. And, you know, I started dabbling in Western fiction about 8 or 9 years ago, just because I loved the subject and had an opportunity to release some short stories that turned into joining Western Writers of America. I've become very active in that organization. And that turned into, well, there are these little music jams at the WWA conventions, and all of our friends, Jim Jones and Almeida and Carol Markstrom, and a lot of people are there sitting in. And I start thinking, what if I
can do
a Western song with you again? I already had Going Oklahoma, which is on the album that I'd written when I was a teenager. And I thought, what if I wrote a couple of songs and joined in? And it just, after a couple of years, I thought, oh my gosh, I just felt this tug. And putting this album together with my producer, I saw as the theme to it. And it just felt like coming home. When I started singing these Western songs, I just felt like my voice had come home. I'm right back there, 4 years old, watching those horses ride out of the dust.
Yeah.
There you go.
And this is such a miracle. It's all such a miracle.
It is. I love how God works. That's amazing. You know, you teach me a lot about Nashville all the time. And
really?
You know, and Garrett, yeah.
Like where to
Garrett
find the best biscuits, right?
Well, those kinds of things.
That's part of it.
Those kinds of things, but it's definitely, you know, the history of Nashville and the appreciation of the culture here. There's a real reverence for the songwriter and for the art and for the business. And it really is Music City. It's the little things. Like one time you showed up to hear me sing, and I thanked you for coming, and you said, singers don't leave their friends to sing alone.
Friends don't let friends play in an empty room. That's right.
Yes.
That's right.
Things like that. Oh, my goodness.
Well, Nashville is a cool city. It's changing a lot. It's changed a whole lot in the last 5 or 10 years. But it's a very old city and has, you know, goes just way back into the 1700s. And I love the history here. And at one time, Tennessee was the frontier, so that has been an interesting, it's interesting when you think of that, you know, 150 years ago, 200 years ago, there weren't many people out west, and this almost was the west.
This was the west.
And Nashville's always had a strong, strong relationship with Western music, too. Many of the Western artists over time recorded here, lived here. And I'm really happy to see that still going on.
Yeah, it is.
You know,
still
this conversation has been so much fun. And we're about to run out of time for this segment of the show.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's just been fast. And, yeah, our next guest is waiting to come on, so we're going to let them wait for just a minute.
Yay.
But you girls are half of a super group that's been formed. So
well,
you
want to
tell us just
plans.
Real quickly? Real quickly what the name of the group is and a little bit of the plan.
So we have a little crew of gals who are not only great friends, but we're musicians, Mary Kay, Tisha McKenna, and Myrna Lewis, wonderful fiddler here in town. And we played together out at the IWMA convention last fall. But we're cooking up some stuff. We're going to maybe do some touring together and got lots of plans. So stay tuned on that. And
yeah.
I also plan to go into the studio late this summer. And we'll be doing sessions since Westbound. Yeah. This will be the start on the next album, and probably we'll have a single out before the end of the year.
Well, we're
nice.
Looking forward to that.
So excited.
We are looking forward to that. Mary Kay, what's the name of the Supergirls group that you guys have gotten started?
We call ourselves Gone with the West.
Gone with the West.
We've got, yes. We're
got
combining
that Southern
elements.
Western thing, yeah.
Yeah, Southern
yeah.
Western thing going on here.
Yeah, not quite Gone with the Wind, but Gone with the West.
Yeah.
So, that is so cool. That is so cool. We look forward to seeing what happens, and I understand there's like a tumbleweed tour or something that's in the works on that. So
yes.
We look forward
we're
to
working
hearing
on it.
More about
Stay
that.
Tuned.
Yeah, we look forward to hearing more about that.
I think you
we're
have another
close
song
out this,
to play. Do we have?
I got one more song I'm going to get to. I had two or three more, but we're going to skip around and hit this one.
Okay.
And we're going to wrap up this segment with a great song called What a Moon. And I know this has been getting a lot of radio play around the country. So Mickey
this
Furman,
was the last song I finished
great.
Right before the recording session started, I think.
Wow.
We
yeah.
all, ha-
wow.
yeah, every album has that
yep.
song.
Wow.
I know.
Well, it's
Thank
a great
so much,
song.
Thank you Mary and Mary Kay.
Hey, listen, we look forward to having That's you come back again. I'm telling you what, I'm thinking about another show, Mary Kay. This should excite you.
Yeah.
But Mickey, you were over at the house and some more friends over at the house. And I thought we need to do a show called Road Stories because the stories that you guys can tell.
We can't tell most of them.
Yeah.
Well, you have to clean it up a little bit. But hey, stay tuned. We may do a show called Road Stories or something. But anyway, Mickey, thanks so much for being with us today.
It was a pleasure.
This
it's always a pleasure to visit with you. Thank you for featuring my music.
Well, you're very welcome. So this is What a Moon. We'll be right back. You're listening to Live from Nashville.
The porch is swept. The cows are fed. The chickens have all gone to bed. I'm fluffed and buffed and ready for some fun. Park the truck at Sully's Ranch. Looks like they're about to start to dance. Across the crowd I see my sweet someone. What a moon, what a Texas sky full of stars. What a cowboy that I've got here in my arms. What a way to end the day, just holding them tired. What a moon, what a cowboy, what a night. I see a world just made for two. How I wish this night would never end. What a moon, what a Texas sky full of
listening to Live from Nashville, direct from Music City. And when we come back, we're going to be talking with a young lady who has been raised on a 150-year-old ranch and moved from Oregon to Nashville to Texas and about. We'll be visiting with Olivia Harms when we return on Live from Nashville. Family. Mama is Joni Harms, and Joni has been a good friend for a long, long time. As a matter of fact, she was just on the Campfire Cafe on Thursday, and we're kind of setting a record because Thursday we have Joni and Saturday we have Olivia, and that is like a record, I think, to have mother and daughter.
Two generations.
Yeah, two generations. But you've been on stage for a long time. How old were you the first time you were on stage?
Well, the story goes that I was, you know, fully cooked. And, you know, Mary Kay, you know, and the fully cooked, and you're probably ready to have them out. But and I'm sure you did many of the same things that my mom did. Because she's like, oh, I think she's fully cooked, and I'm ready to have her out. I got a gig I got to get to. And so what she did is she went into the doctor and she said, you know, I'm doing this gig. And at the time it was, I think at the Portland Speedway with like Clint Black and the tractors that she was going to be playing with. And she said, I don't want to miss it. So can we get the baby out so I can do my gig? And so on June 13th, or at 1:13 military time, 13:13 in room 13, I came along. And 2 days later, she went out and did her gig. And so story goes, I was just born right in it, right out of the chute.
Wow. And on stage at 2 days old. And never stopped. Have never stopped.
That's right.
Then.
That's right.
That's right.
No, never stopped.
Wow, wow. Well, you have just been setting the woods on fire. You're just performing all over the place, and you have traveled globally with your mama performing. We got to see you guys in November. Actually met you for the first time, and Joni for the very first time in November back at the IWMA convention. And it was so
good
to finally get to do that. I can't believe it's been the first time because – Joni, and I think you were there too, performed at one of my rendezvous in, I believe, Washington State a few years ago.
Oh, yes, I believe you're right. Yes, sir. That I know. It's crazy. It seems like I've known of both of you for so long and just like we've chatted before, and I've always loved listening to your music, Mary Kay, and so I was like, have I really never met y'all before? This is crazy, but we finally made it happen.
We did. And we look forward to having that happen again as well. But you did a lot of writing. You've done a lot of writing back here in Nashville. Wood Newton was on the show, 2 months ago or so, Mary Kay? And both Joni and you have written a lot with Wood, and
yes, I love him.
I was talking to Mary Kay a little bit earlier, and it's like you moved from Oregon to Texas. Why did you not move from Oregon to Nashville?
It's like I would call it like a half move to Nashville for a period of time. I was basing myself out of Oregon and Nashville for like 2 years. I was kind of like doing a half and half split. And then COVID happened and, you know, I kind of got sent home. And so I was hanging out in Oregon and it was a really great way for me to kind of take a look at what I wanted to do and what I wanted to play and where I wanted to be. And I'd spent a couple years playing music in Nashville and writing. And I mean, that's where the best songwriters are, without a doubt. That's where the great folks are. And so I loved being there and kind of enjoying my songwriting school, if you will. But it wasn't where my music best fit, I didn't think. And so I kind of took that time where I was forced to go home to the ranch and said, where do I want to be? And I thought, you know, every time that I have played music in Texas or even anywhere, just in the Western states in general, but, you know, Texas kind of has their own little music scene I'm going to go try it out and see what happens. And so I, you know, concocted this crazy idea of buying a travel trailer. And me and my two dogs were going to drive from Oregon to Texas. And I didn't have any, like, you know, idea of where to play, to be honest. I just kind of, I call it like a guerrilla tour, honestly, because I, like, started Googling all these places. And I was like, I'll find somewhere. So I just spent a couple days. I don't know how many people I had to pester, but I'd send email and call and just pester all these poor venues until a few of them finally said, okay, fine. Like, if we hire you, will you quit bothering us? But it worked out great. And I got, I don't know, I think I was gone for 6 weeks or so. And I think I got 25 to 30 gigs put together all over Texas.
That's excellent.
Took my trailer and it was such a great time that I thought, well, I'll do it again. And then I ended up doing it a couple more times. And then I just fell in love with the people down here and decided I'd buy a house. So now I'm a Texan.
Oh, wow. Wow, wow.
I know.
Well, I'll tell you, like I tell most Texans, if it weren't for Tennessee, there would be no Texas, you know. So
that's true. To keep the Texans humble.
Sam Houston was the first president of Texas, but before that he was the governor of Tennessee. And then, of course, there was Davy Crockett and those boys at the Alamo. So we'll take credit
for
all of that.
Well, that's just right. And see, no
That's
wonder
right.
I like it so much, because they come from Tennessee. You know what?
That's right. That's
yeah,
right.
That's right.
Right. That's right. Hey, I want to get to another song real quickly. Tell us about Neon Blue.
Absolutely. Neon Blue, I didn't get to write with Wood Newton. There's a couple songs y'all might play that are, well, Wood Newton song, but it was written with one of my other good songwriting buddies, and I just was telling her about how there's only two bars in Canby, Oregon, where I grew up. And so she said, well, you know, there might be a song in that somewhere. Because I said, you know, in small towns, you know, small town life, someone breaks up and there's only two mm-hmm. bars to go to. So the guys always hit up the one, and it seems like they always get to the nice bar first. And we don't ever want to walk in there after there's been a breakup in town. And so we end up going to the dive bar. And the dive bar is called the Spinner. And it is more like a shed. It's really not much of an establishment at all. But anytime I've been there and my friends are there, it's really more about the company that's with you than the place you're at. And so we always have a good time. And so that's kind of what inspired the song. And about last year in January, when I was ready to see what would happen if I released my first single to Texas Red Dirt Radio, that's the one I chose to release, and it went all the way up to the top 30 and spent a couple weeks in the Texas top 30. So it's been a fun song and has a fun little story attached to it.
Well, it is a great song. We're going to share that with our worldwide audience today on Live from Nashville. It's called Neon Blue. We'll be back and talk more with Olivia Harms in just a moment.
Been
great songwriting there, sister. Very, very nice song.
Thank you.
Yes, I just love your voice on that. You know,
well, thank you
got
so much.
An honor. Oh, well, you're welcome. You received a very big honor this year from the Cowgirl magazine. You were listed as 30 under 30 Cowgirls to Watch. How was that to get that news?
Oh, my gosh. It was, like, such an honor just to be with 29 other amazing women. And, you know, I mean, I just looked at myself in that group and I kept thinking, are you sure? Are you sure I'm supposed to be here? Because you got some of these amazing cowgirls that are doing all the marketing or design work for big brands like Justin or Huey or, you know, wonderful veterinarians that have worked in the equine program at the 4-6s. And so just to be able to connect with them and, you know, kind of have some cow gal power going on, I love being a part of it. So it was a very big honor.
Well, I love what Cowgirl Magazine is doing. I think they're doing such a great job of really shining a light on the women of the West.
Absolutely.
I don't think that the American public at large really understands cowboy culture in a way that, and Cowgirl Magazine does such a great job of really kind of bringing that into focus for people. So I love that.
They really do a wonderful job. I mean, I agree. And I think there's a few things with pop culture maybe that have kind of piqued some of the general public's interest in the Western lifestyle and Western industry and just the Wild West in general. And so it's really great that we have wonderful sources like Cowgirl Magazine that is there for these people that are like, hey, this is kind of interesting. Let's learn more. And, you know, Cowgirl Magazine or, you know, the Cowboy Channel, RFD TV, the IWMA, all these wonderful programs.
Western Horsemen.
Exactly. They're just wonderful ways for people to learn more about what we've known our whole life. So I'm so grateful to have them.
Yeah.
While you're talking about cowgirls, you and Joni have been part of Art of the Cowgirl, my buddy Tammy Pate's program, for the last couple of years.
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about what you guys are doing there?
Absolutely. Yeah. Another amazing thing. I mean, I'm just so glad that we're, you know, able to help honor so many different cowgirls, whether it's the 30 under 30 or the Art of the Cowgirl. They ask my mom and I to do a songwriting workshop because they have so many different workshops that they put on led by cowgirls that are, you know, supposed to be a master at their trade. So there's silversmithing and leather work and, you know, cutting horse clinics and dog training clinics and anything that you can think of that has to do with the Western lifestyle that you might want to learn about getting into that sort of trade or that sort of hobby or event, if you will. They probably have a way for you to take one of their workshops and kind of be with some professionals in the workplace and learn how to do it. And so we've been doing a songwriting workshop for the last couple of years. We started doing it with the wonderful Linda Thurston, Zeke Thurston's mom. And, you know, then COVID kind of put a stop to bringing in the Canadians. Can join us next year because she's an amazing woman also. But it's just been really neat to be a part of the Cowgirl, watch it grow, and then just see how they're really highlighting all these wonderful horse ladies and makers and, you know, the Western lifestyle, because we need every bit of that we can get.
Definitely.
Well, Mary
Kay,
I think we need to put that on our calendar for 2024 because they do let guys come to Art of the Cowgirl.
They do.
So that would be a lot of fun. That would be
they
a lot
sure
of fun.
They sure do, and I know they're always looking for more musicians. So, you know, I think I know a great gal that could play there.
That could be the case. Hey, listen, I want to get to some more music and come back and visit a little bit more, but this is I Don't Need You, But I Want You. And can you tell us about this song?
Oh, absolutely. You know, there's a story behind every song, Gary, you know.
Uh-huh.
But Yes, I have just listened to so many of my girlfriends over the years. You know, I'm only 27, but still I'm at the age where a lot of my friends are getting married. And I've listened to a lot of them get married for absolutely the right reasons, because they just can't imagine life without someone. And then, you know, sadly, I've had just a handful, just a couple friends that may have married too young. And they said, well, we kind of wish that we would have, like, been a little bit, had a little more time to figure out who they are and marry, because you want to be that person with that person all the time, but not because you need them for security or, you know, for some of the reasons that women do get married young.
That's right.
You know, different circumstances. And so I was with one of my co-writers in Nashville, and I was, you know, talking about life as you do. And I said, I just think we need more positive songs out there for females. You know, I try really hard not to write any songs about a man leaving me and me just being completely shattered, because that's just not the image that I want to portray to young women. Not that that's not a part of life at all. I'm not a man hater at all, but I just think we need to be positive and, you know, be a good role model and example for young ladies, and teach them that maybe be secure in yourself first, and then you'll be happier when it comes down to it, and marry because you want to be with that person, but not because you need them.
So exactly. This is I Don't Need You, But I Want You. This is by Olivia Harms. We'll be back in just a moment on Live from Nashville.
Progression and melody on that tune, Olivia.
Thank
really
you.
Nice.
Thank you.
Yes. You know, we've just so loved visiting with you today. We've got one more song to play, but before I talk about that song, you know, what can we have a worldwide audience that listens to this show? Where can your brand new fans from this show find you?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, obviously, come out to any show you can. I love meeting my new fans and friends. And the easiest way for you to find me is probably to go on OliviaHarms.com, where I have all my tour dates listed. But if you want to follow along on some of my crazy adventures, I'm still pulling my trailer some of the time with my dogs, and I'm always getting myself into something. So you can find me on Facebook or Instagram or what do the young kids do, TikTok and all that stuff. So I'm out there if you want to give me a follow and watch my crazy adventures. Come join the fun.
Well, I love that. And, you know, Gary and I have a favorite song that you do. And every time we listen to this together, we always say, what a beautiful job you do on this song that people are used to hearing the Dixie Chicks do it. But we just love your version so much. And so our last song today is Traveling Soldier. Can you tell us a little bit about your inspiration for producing this song and singing it?
Yeah, you know, it was so fun. A couple years ago, my mom and I were just kind of chatting in the car on one of our road trips, and we were doing some singing while we were going down the road and just some of our favorite country classics. And I said, you know, maybe sometime we should do a project of just our favorite kind of cover songs that we love to sing that are kind of other people's favorites too. And we talked about it and mulled it over and just decided to do it. And so I made a list of some of my favorites, and she made a list of some of hers. And it was great because we kind of got this mix of some of the traditional favorites and a couple contemporary ones, like I think Traveling Soldier and White Liar are on that album. And Traveling Soldier was just a no-brainer for me because I've always loved that song, and I have always had such an appreciation for our men and women that are out there keeping us safe. You know, we are so lucky. It doesn't matter how crazy the world gets sometimes. You know, it doesn't take very much to realize that we really still are the best country out there. And I would not want to live anywhere else. And I just can't be appreciative enough of all the people that are out there making such a sacrifice, because Lord knows I would be too big of a girl to go and fight and do the things that they have to do. So I just thought, well, let's do that one, and hopefully we can honor some of those amazing, brave people.
Well, this is Traveling Soldier. Olivia, you have absolutely been so much fun to visit with. And we look forward to seeing you in Nashville, maybe this fall.
Well, I look forward to it. Yes, sir. Thank you so much for having me and making time to chat with me. I really appreciate it. It's been so much fun.
Well, you are very welcome.
Good.
This is Traveling Soldier. We'll be right back.
Past 18, he was waiting for the bus in his army green. Sat down in a booth cafe there, gave his order to a girl with a bow in her hair. He's a little shy, so she gave him a smile, and he said, would you mind sitting down for a while, talking to me, feeling a little low. She said, I'm off in an hour, and I know where we can go. So they went down and they sat on the pier. He said, I bet you got a boyfriend, but I don't care. I got no one to send a letter to. Would you mind if I send one back here to you? Soldiers football game. Lord's Prayer said in the anthem sang, a man said, folks, won't you bow your heads for a lifted local Vietnam dead. Crying all alone under the stands was a piccolo player in the marching band, and one name read, nobody really cared, but a pretty little girl bow in her hair. I cried, never gonna hold the hand of another guy, too young for him, they told her, waiting for the love of a traveling soldier. Our love will never end, waiting for the soldier to come back again. Never gonna be alone when the letter says, soldier's coming. I cried, never gonna hold the hand of another guy, too young for him, they told her, waiting for the love of a traveling soldier.
Olivia Harms, Mary Kay, what a fun show today.
Really fun. Just amazing guests.
We had great guests today. So much fun talking with Mickey Furman and sharing music from her Wrangler Award-winning album, Westbound. And then great to have Olivia with us, and great visiting with her. So, you know, if you want to hit the road, just get a travel trailer and two dogs and take off. You know, that's the way to do it.
I just giggled when she told that story, because we know her mother. And she has
that,
you know, Olivia's got that cowgirl spirit. And, you know, I think she knows from those years seeing her mother on the road that there's good people out there that appreciate the music. Anyway, we're going to see great things from that young lady.
I'm looking forward to it. Well, it's been a fun show today. We're going to invite our audience around the world to tune in to iHeartRadio, Apple Podcast, iTunes, and Spotify. Just search for Equestrian Legacy Radio, and you can find our shows there. Or visit our website at equestrianlegacy.net. Be sure to tune in on Thursdays for the Campfire Cafe in Saddle Up America, beginning at noon Central Time. And then again on Saturday for Live from Nashville right here. Mary Kay, we'll see you soon, my dear.
All righty.
All right. This is Allison Krauss. It's called The Lucky One. Thanks for listening.
When your blood's stuck in
You'll be looking at a happy man, cause you're the lucky one.